join me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to call this message, The King of Righteousness. Who does that sound like, everybody? Jesus, right? Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to take you through some interesting things here in the Word here tonight. And over the last several weeks, I've been in a series of messages called The Roadmap to God's Highest and Best. God wants you walking in His plan. He doesn't want you held to your own opinions or the methods of man. He wants you to walk out His plan for your life. And we've been talking about things that it takes, things that we need to know, things that we need to do in order for God to have His highest and best in our life. Amen. How many of you want a breakthrough in your life? Well, if you want a breakthrough, I'll tell you, there's only one way to break through, and that's with the light of the Word of God. Amen. And if you're here tonight, and maybe what we're going to talk about, you might be already doing it. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I have no idea. But I'm here to tell you, it will produce a breakthrough in your life, because the Word will always produce a breakthrough. Amen. But we started a few weeks ago talking about the first step. If you're going to walk in God's highest and best, number one, you've got to live a crucified life. You know, a lot of Christians never even make it to step number one. You know, a crucified life, a fully surrendered life. You know, Paul said over there in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Yet the life that I live in the body, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. And we said this, the first step, you know, to walking in God's highest and best, you got to get to a place that all that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do is submitted and yielded to God and employed for His uses. Amen. We've got to come to a point that we go before God and say, Lord, all that I have, all that I am, all that I can do, all of my abilities, all of, you know, everything, Lord, I'm a steward before you. Nothing is mine. Everything is His. Amen. We've got to fully surrender if we're going to walk in God's highest and best. We can't be one foot in with God and one foot out with God, right? We've got to be fully in. Praise the Lord. And then the second step we said is that we need to be refreshing in the local church. We looked at Barnabas. How many remember this man, Barnabas? Yeah, we looked over there at Acts chapter 4. This great man of the Word of God, the Bible says that he refreshed the apostles, which is very interesting because you'd think that they would already be all the, you know, refreshed on their own. I mean, here they were, the most anointed men of God that had ever walked on this earth, but yet they still needed somebody to refresh them. Folks, I tell you what, you know, I'm very appreciative, you know, just as a pastor, leader of, you know, churches, it's, you know, very much needed. You know, it's not that, you know, I myself, I'm looking for cheerleaders or anything like that. But when you see people that are just following the plan of God in their life, it's refreshing for a pastor. You know, I want to show my leadership that the Word of God that they're preaching and teaching me, I want to show them that it's working in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's refreshing. Be refreshing to those that are around you. Be refreshing to leadership. Hallelujah. It'll help you get to God's highest and best. And then last week, we started talking about the principles of fellowship. We need to understand what fellowship is. It's more than just sitting down and eating meals together. Fellowship is a partnership together. Amen. Where we don't look at the local church and think about how the church can cater to me or to my needs. You know, we got to lay our needs down. And when we show up to cater to the needs of people around us. Amen. And we talked about that and, you know, being loyal to each other and walking in love with each other. Amen. We don't come to church to see what we can pull out of it. You know, what we just get for ourselves. We want to bring our best for one another. Praise God. It really helps the service. It helps people, you know, that are in this room, that if you're receiving the Word of God at a high level, if you're glad to receive it and you're pulling on the Word, you know, to hear utterance from the Holy Spirit, someone else may just get their answers in that service because you over here, you know, we're drawing on the Word. Someone over here got their answers. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to understand what fellowship is. It means to participate. It means to serve one another. Amen. And now tonight we're going to talk about the King of Righteousness. And I'm going to go over to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start there here in just a moment. You know, last week I just gave a brief testimony. You know, I've been given just a brief, you know, little sentence or two testimony. You know, I said this a week or two ago. I said, I'm very glad that I built my life around the local church. I built my life around the local church, and you know, I'm very glad that I did. And I'm going to say this here tonight. I'm glad that I was taught to be a tither. I'm glad to be taught, you know, tithing and why it's important. Amen. You know, I've been a tither since 2004, and time does not permit all the testimonies that I could share. And I don't mean just financial testimonies. I mean testimonies of what God does on behalf of the tither. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to go and look at the King of Righteousness. You say, Pastor, the King of Righteousness, what does that have to do about tithing? Well, you're going to see what it has to do about tithing. Amen. And if you're here tonight and if you say, well, the tithe is just my 10% and I give it to the church. Listen, I'm telling you, it's way more than that. You know, it's not just, you know, some impersonal thing. It's not just some law that we're forced to do. It has everything to do with the heart that God wants in you and I. Amen. A heart to put Him first, and where the tithe came from, why God calls it so sacred, and actually why it's under attack these days more now than ever before. All of a sudden, all these YouTube influencers seem to think that they know more, you know, than the Word of God. It's just amazing. Listen, you better be very careful. You better be feeding off somebody who's anointed and called to preach and teach the Word of God. YouTube influencers, you know, all of a sudden they seem like they act, you know, they act like they know more than generations of anointed men and women of God who have led the body of Christ for generations. I'm telling you, I'm sticking with the Word. Amen. And I'm sticking with people that know God. Amen. Hallelujah. Be very careful about social media, because right now, for some reason, well, I know why. I mean, of course, the devil's trying to set Christians up. You know, the devil's really trying to set Christians up at some point to find themselves in a place of lack and hardship. But right now, the tithe, the idea of tithing, is under attack. Christians everywhere are saying, oh, it's unscriptural, it's not in the New Testament, has nothing to do with us anymore. Oh, I tell you what, you better be careful about that. You're going to see why it matters here tonight. And it's more than money. It's not about money at all. It's actually about your heart and your relationship with the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm glad I was taught how to tithe. I'm glad that I had a church that had the guts to teach about the aspects of the Word of God that challenge people. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 5. Tonight, you know, we're going to see how many points we actually get to. But I have 3 points to teach us along the way here of how to be a tither, or what it takes to be a tither. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm doing that, so therefore I can just tune you out for the rest of this message. No, hold on, because you're going to be surprised. This is actually, we're not going to any financial verses per se. We're going to look at the tithe is different. You know, just because the tithe includes money doesn't mean that it's about money. You need to understand the tithe and money are two totally different things in the eyes of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Tonight we're going to begin with this. Are you ready? Number one, I want to give you an introduction to Melchizedek. And I'm laughing because it almost sounds strange to say that, you know, out loud. An introduction to Melchizedek and why he is essential to your life. Yes, I just said that. You know, you might be sitting here thinking, oh man, I went down to that family church down there in the old furniture store, and that crazy pastor down there is telling me that some obscure man from the Old Testament with a very strange name is essential to my life. That's exactly right. A lot of Christians will never hear, never be taught about what we're about to teach you here tonight. And we got to make sure that we get a hold of this, because this is essential, and it's not just about 10% of your income. It's not about raising funds for the church. You know, it's not just about, you know, the business side of an organization or something like that. This is not, you know, a fundraising attempt. this church is not in any financial trouble. This has nothing to do with just trying to raise, you know, offerings and things like that. It's about you having a dynamic relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's give you an introduction to this man by the name of Melchizedek and why it matters to you. Go over to Hebrews 5:5. We're going to go through several verses here in these chapters. And verse 5, it says this. It says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest." He's not just a high priest. He's the high priest. Amen. He's the highest of high priests. He's higher than Aaron. He's higher than any Pharisee. He's higher than them all. It says, "But he that said to him," meaning this is what God the Father said to Jesus, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you," or birthed you into this role. Here's what it says in verse 6. It says, "As God says in another place," speaking to Jesus, "you are a priest forever after the order or the manner of Melchizedek." Can we bring up verse 6, please? It says that Jesus is a priest forever after the order or after the manner of Melchizedek. You say, "Pastor, I can't believe you are teaching us, taking us down this road." You need to know and understand it, because right there, that's why it's important. Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, was raised up to be your priest before your Heavenly Father in the order or the manner of this man, Melchizedek. If you've never heard of him, you need to understand that he represents Jesus himself. All right, there's a big debate whether Melchizedek was actually Jesus himself or not. Listen, I'm not here to talk about that debate, but at very least, he's a type and a shadow of who Christ is, what Christ would do, and our relationship to him. This is why it's essential for your life. Amen. Notice it says, God said in another place that Jesus would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That other place that the Lord said that was through King David in Psalm 110. Remember how King David prophesied that the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Remember that? It was in that same passage, God the Father said, "You are called to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek." That was the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. So we're taking a deeper look in who Jesus is and who he is to us. You say, "What does this have to do with tithing?" Here we go. We're going to give you the deeper look of why it matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, go over to chapter 6 and verse 20. You're in Hebrews 5. Go to chapter 6 and go to verse 20. Now, this is talking about Jesus as the priest who went into the presence of God for us. It says, "Whether the forerunner is for us entered," meaning even Jesus, meaning Jesus entered the presence of God on our behalf. Aren't you glad that he did that? The Bible says that Jesus took his blood into God's dwelling place and presented that sacrifice for you and I. And God looked at that blood and said, "Because of that sacrifice, I will accept them in my presence. I will wash their sins." Are you glad for that here tonight?
Yes.
Oh, come on, everybody. If we don't get excited about what Jesus did for us in that place, he was called the forerunner who entered into the presence of God for us. He went there so you and I can get there. Amen. So that when we pray, we enter the very presence of God in the name of Jesus. He's called the forerunner, or the priest that went into the presence of God for us. Even Jesus, he was made a high priest forever. Everyone say forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Here we go again. And then that's the very last verse of chapter 6. Look at the first verse of chapter 7. Go to Hebrews 7:1, and this is when we're going to start camping out. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem," which was the ancient city that eventually became known as Jerusalem, "priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham." You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? This is over 4,000 years ago. Here we go. We're going to camp out in Hebrews chapter 7 because you're going to get and understand something here. It'll change your life if you let it. You say, well, Pastor, I just wanted a happy, simple little message. Folks, I'm not here to, you know, just give us platitudes. I'm here to teach you the Word. I'm here to dig into the Word of God. You know, if you want poems and Hallmark card sermons, you're probably in the wrong place, right? I want you to get a hold of this because it's a reflection of Jesus himself. Amen. Look at this. In verse 1, it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, notice he's called the priest of the Most High God. Well, you say, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound that weird to me. It should, because Abraham and Melchizedek were alive on this earth long before the Levitical priesthood. Who was the first high priest under the Old Testament law, everybody? Go ahead and shout it out, somebody. It was Aaron, the brother of Moses, was the first high priest under the law. But is this during the law? No, this is way before Moses, way before the law of the Old Testament. Hang with me, everybody. You're going to see why it matters. And all of a sudden, Abraham came back from the Battle of the Kings. How many of you remember that? The Battle of the Kings. Remember Abraham's nephew? What was his name, everybody? Lot. Remember Lot went and did his own thing? Went and set up his dwelling near Sodom. And remember how what happened to Lot when he got over there? Well, eventually he got kidnapped. Remember when he got snatched? You know, when Abraham was like, oh, great, now I got to go rescue my nephew. Remember this? And Abraham took 300 men of his own personal army. Remember that? Because he was loyal to his nephew and went and rescued him. And because of that, Abraham was forced to do battles with the kings of that region. Remember that? And there was several of them. And of course, Abraham won. And what? Because Abraham won the battle of the kings, something fell into his lap. And it was what, everybody? Great spoil. He already was a wealthy man. But then he came back from that. He came back, you know, loaded. We'll just say it that way. He came back with this great spoil. And he's coming back from returning from this battle of the kings. In Hebrews, it calls it the slaughter of the kings because those kings stood no chance against Abraham. Why did those kings stand no chance against Abraham? Come on, someone say it. Because of the covenant. That covenant that was with Abraham, even though he was outmatched, outgunned, it was 4-1, Abraham still won that battle because you cannot defeat that covenant. Hey, amen. Remember what David said when he had to face Goliath all those years later? He was a 16-year-old ruddy little boy. Remember this? And he stood in front of that giant and he heard the threatenings of Goliath. And remember David, this teenager, he said what even the king of Israel wouldn't say. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? How many of you remember that? What was David saying? He's saying, this Philistine, I don't care how big he is, he's not in covenant with Almighty God. I am in covenant with Almighty God. And he said, I don't need a sword, I don't need armor, and I don't need a helmet, I don't need a spear. Just give me 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and I'll take my shepherd's sling, and I'll go out there and take this man down. And he did. Why did David have the courage to face Goliath? Because he knew covenant. He knew that God was with him. Folks, we're supposed to know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so now, this is the first time that we see this Melchizedek, you know, this priest of the Most High God. You're going to learn a lot about him right here. He's called the priest of the Most High God. And it says that when Abraham was coming back from this battle victory, Melchizedek came out and it says that Melchizedek blessed him. Now look at verse 2. Let's keep reading. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth, or literally the word tenth is the word what, everybody? Tithe. So Abraham presented a tithe to Melchizedek. And here's what you need to know and understand. This is the first official tithe in the Bible. It happened all the way back there in Genesis chapter 14. And here's something you need to know about the tithe. God never told Abraham to do it. Do you know that? There is no record of God ever telling Abraham to tithe to Melchizedek. It was Abraham's idea. You know, obviously, I believe it was stirred by the Spirit of God in Abraham. But of course, he did that without being commanded to do it. That we're ever told in the Bible. He wasn't commanded. But he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, first being, Melchizedek, this is who he's talking about, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that, he was also called king of Salem, which interpreted means king of peace. So Melchizedek is this mysterious figure that shows up out of nowhere. He's the priest of the living God. Abraham had never seen him before. There was no record of him. Watch this. Keep on reading. Look at verse 3. It says, Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, he had no bloodline, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God, who abides a priest forever. Continually, that's what the word continually means. Isn't that amazing? Meaning that Abraham had no record of where Melchizedek came from. He seemed to have no natural parents. He just, all of a sudden, he was there, and his name meant King of Righteousness, King of Peace. Boy, does that sound like anybody you know? Yeah. There's a lot of people that believe that Melchizedek was Jesus himself. Listen, I'm not here to enter that debate. At very least, we know that he represented the Messiah. He represented the coming of Jesus because Melchizedek was made like unto the Son of God to abide as a priest forever. He represents Jesus. This man was a type and shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it matters to us. Now look at this. In verse 4, it says, now consider how great this Melchizedek was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tithe of the spoils that he won in that battle. Isn't that interesting? Look at this. I'll tell you what. Melchizedek is called the priest of the Most High God. His name literally means King of Righteousness, King of Peace. It says that he is made like unto the Son of God, and he lives as a priest forever, just like Jesus Christ, right? A foreshadowing of Jesus. And now Abraham, notice it says, Abraham considered how great this Melchizedek was. So Abraham had the spiritual foresight to see something that others couldn't see. Abraham said, look how great this King of Righteousness is. And Abraham said, now I want to give you a tenth, or I want to tithe this. Now look at, can you bring this up in the Amplified? Look at the verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Look at this. Now it says, now observe and consider how great a personage this Melchizedek was, to whom even Abraham the patriarch gave a tithe, the topmost or the pick of the heap of the spoils. Think about this. Abraham just came back from rescuing Lot. He just was fighting for his life in this battle. He wins and defeats these other armies. He reaps the spoils of the victory. And as he's coming back, Melchizedek comes out, blesses him. Abraham is standing there, and Abraham starts to pick up, wow, there's some greatness about this Melchizedek. He's a priest. He's the King of Righteousness. And Abraham stood back and said, I want the Lord to have the topmost of all that I have. I want the Lord to take the first tenth of anything that I've won. Because Abraham was standing by and he was saying, without the Lord, I wouldn't have had that victory. Without the Lord, my life wouldn't have been spared. Without the Lord, I wouldn't have been able to eat. I wouldn't have been able to win or to even breathe for that matter. Abraham stood back, much like Abel did in the Garden of Eden. And Abel brought the first and the best of his flock. Remember that? But Cain just brought whatever he wanted. And God rejected Cain and accepted Abel. And now Abraham stands back without even being commanded to do so. He says, I want the Lord to have. I want this King of righteousness to have the best that I have. I want him to have the first tenth. I want him to have his pick of the heap. I like that. Because that's what tithing is. Tithing is a declaration that says, I have no victory without the Lord. Tithing is to say, I want God to have the first in my life. I want God to have the topmost pick in my life. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what this King of righteousness gave Abraham this opportunity. Abraham saw how great Melchizedek was. That even Abraham saw and recognized him as the King of righteousness and King of peace. Is it possible that Melchizedek was Jesus himself? Could be. Listen, I can't prove it nor disprove it in the Word of God. I know there's a lot of debate about it, all right? I'll tell you what, if he wasn't Jesus, the Bible says he was made to be just like him. So Abraham is coming back from this victory, and he meets, and we're going to look even more specifically at this moment. He meets this high priest of the Most High God, and he gives him a tithe and says, I want God to get the first pick. I want God to get the topmost, the best of all that I have. Amen. Are you here tonight? Amen. And Abraham presented a tithe of all of his increase that he won out of that battle. This was the first tithe ever officially given in the Bible. And in verse 4 in the Amplified, it says the tithe is called the topmost or the pick of the heap. I like that. And I'm not even saying this financially. This is just a principle in all of our life. Does God get the topmost of your life? Does he get the top of the heap in your life? See, if we think for one second that God changed his mind about wanting the topmost of our life, we're fooled. We'd be deceived. Listen, whether it was in the Garden of Eden, whether it was after the Battle of the Kings, or whether it's right here in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2026, God has always desired to have the topmost and the top of the heap. Are you here tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. Boy, you know, I'll tell you what, Christians, we get excited when we're told what we're going to get. But so often we get quiet when we see and hear about what God wants us to let go of. Don't get quiet about it. Amen. We should rejoice. This is what belongs to the Lord. This is who he is. Glory to God. Abraham stood aside from all of his increase and he said, I had no victory without the Lord. I have no provision without the Lord. I provided none of this for myself. He is my provider. I want him to get the first fruits. I want him to get the top of the heap. I want him to have the best that I have. Amen. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 5. Now, this is going to dig deep here for a minute. I questioned whether I should even go into this, but I'm going to go into it. And it says, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi. Remember the sons of Levi in the Old Testament? How many of you remember the Levites? The Levites were, of course, starting with Aaron, the brother of Moses. They were the priesthood tribe. Yes. Remember, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were the priesthood. Now it says, and verily they that are the sons of Levi in the Old Testament law, who receive the office of the priesthood, they have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Now some people, they say, well, Pastor, we're not in the law. You're right, we're not. We're in the age of grace. But keep on reading. According to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. Remember, the Levites were just the children of Abraham, right? Remember that? Now look at verse 6. It keeps on explaining this. But he whose descent is not counted from them receives tithes of Abraham. Who was the one who was without descent who received tithes from Abraham? Melchizedek. Remember, Jesus Christ is not of the Levite priesthood. Remember that? He is from the tribe of Judah. He's not a Levite. He is the Lion of Judah. Jesus was not born in the priesthood tribe. Jesus was going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's not a Levite. He's not an Old Testament law priest. Do you understand that? Yeah. Melchizedek was not an Old Testament law priest. Jesus is not an Old Testament law priest. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is the apostle and the high priest of the New Testament. Amen. It says, but he who descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham who had the promises. This is awesome. Get a hold. Hold on. I'm going to make my point. And now look at verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater or the better. Meaning Melchizedek was called greater than even Abraham. Do you see that? You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Because you and I have a King of righteousness. You and I have a Melchizedek. We don't have a Levite priest. We have a priest who is of the order of Melchizedek. And he's saying this priest does not receive tithes after the Old Testament law. He receives it as being the greatest that ever has been. Look at this. Look at verse 8. Look at. And here, in the old way, the old Levite priesthood, men that die receives tithes. See, the Levitical priesthood was just made up of men who die. They live, they make mistakes, they had to offer sacrifices for themselves, but they die. But there, he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he forever lives. Who is the one that forever lives, everybody? Who is the true King of righteousness? Who is the true King of peace? When somebody says, see, they never make that connection. You know, and all of a sudden these people are out there talking about how tithing doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the New Testament. There it is. Unless you've lost your King of righteousness, don't tithe anymore. Unless you've lost your King of peace. Unless Jesus didn't raise from the dead. He did raise from the dead. He is the King of righteousness. As Abraham recognized the greatness of Melchizedek and gave tithe, not in the order of the Levite priest, but in the order of the King of righteousness, in the priesthood that lives forever, that's where Abraham gave his tithes. He declared, "This one lives forever." Do you understand this? We are not those that tithe in the Levitical sense. We don't bring our tithe to, you know, someone that dies. You know, we don't bring them to somebody that had faults and failures of their own. We bring and present them before Christ, in whom it is witnessed. He lives forever. Jesus is not dead, therefore the tithe is not dead. And when people get on YouTube and they teach, oh, it's no longer a thing, it's no longer a thing, they're deceived. You know why? They're not walking with the King of righteousness. They don't fellowship with his word. They don't fellowship, and therefore they start to throw all this stuff out. Oh, it's not for today. It's unbiblical. That's what people that are guilty of violating the word would say. Woo, boy, are you here tonight? It's absolutely true. Praise the Lord. Listen, I don't know about you. I want to see the greatness of my Lord and my Savior. I want to walk with the King of righteousness. And I want to stand back with that heart of Abraham and say, Lord, you get the topmost pick in my life. Lord, if the tithe is sacred to you, I want you to have it. I want you to have the first fruits in my life. Tithing is not about just some percentage or just about money. It is about a heart of Abraham that stands back and says, Lord, you get first pick in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham didn't tithe out of the law. He didn't tithe to the Levites. He tithe to the King of righteousness, the King of peace, who wasn't a Levite, therefore it wasn't of the law. Abraham's tithe was for the priest who lives forever. I bring my tithe to Christ as Abraham brought his tithe to Melchizedek. Look at verse 8. We're going to keep going. Oh, we're there in verse 8 right now. Here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. In verse 9, he says this, and as I may so, boy, everyone pay attention to this right now. Is everyone with me? Are you ready? Boy, is it okay if you get taught the word here tonight? Watch what the New Testament says. And as I so say, Levi, the Old Testament priesthood, which is now abolished, who receives tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. Can you bring this up in the Amplified just to get you make sure that you understand what it's saying here? Look at this in the Amplified. A person might even say that Levi, the father of the priestly tribe of the law, himself, who received tithes back there on Moses' day, the tenth, paid tithes through Abraham. See, because it's going on to say, it's saying literally when Abraham gave that tithe over to Melchizedek, all that Abraham was, all that would come out of Abraham was represented that day in that tithing to Melchizedek. Levi was yet to be born hundreds of years later. But the scripture says because Abraham was paying a tithe to that king of righteousness, all the seed of Abraham were to what? Pay tithes to this king of righteousness or king of peace who ultimately is Jesus Christ. Levi was even subject to Melchizedek. Aaron, Moses, all the Levitical priesthood, all that God has ever done, all that he ever is, was submitted to this king of righteousness. And that's why Abraham gave him a tithe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You could even say it this way. If Levi was there, because Abraham was there, Levi was the seed of Abraham. I know some of you got smoke coming out of your ears. Deep walk into some theology here tonight. I'm gonna bring it all together here in just a second, all right? But if Levi was there when Abraham was technically given tithes to this king of righteousness, who else could you say was there? Yes. Who else could you say was there? We were. Because absolutely, go back up. Go back up. But go back up to verse 8. Oh, excuse me. No, say it verse 9. Yeah, that's that. Oh, yeah. No, go back up to verse 8. Yeah, let's go. Furthermore, here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death, while there, in the case of Melchizedek, they are received by one of whom it is testified that he lives perpetually. I have a perpetual living priest. His name is Jesus Christ. He gets the top pick in my life. And now, verse 9, just so you understand it, a person might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Because the Bible sees the Levites as part of Abraham because they were the seed of Abraham. Remember? All right? If the seed of Abraham was there, who's the seed of Abraham in these days? Boy, don't get too excited, everybody. I'll tell you what, if you want to unlock the Bible and understand what everything is about, 90% of the Bible is about God seeing all of us through this descendancy of Abraham. Okay, when you understand the covenant of Abraham, who you are as the seed of Abraham, because you and I are the seed of Abraham, we have a king of righteousness. The tithe was never supposed to be a rule of a local organization just forcing it out of the pockets of the people. What God desired the tithe to be would be an honor and an ode back to the one that originally started it. That God would honor Abraham forever. That his seed would know and understand the greatness of the covenant through Jesus Christ. They would step aside and put all that they have, all that they are, all that they can do before the Lord and say, God, I want you to have the first. I want you to have the topmost. Because without Jesus, I have no heaven. Without this King of righteousness, I have no remission of sin. Without this King of peace, I have no joy. I have nothing to eat. Without him, I have no strength. Without him, I would never be able to earn or have any true provision. Without him, I'd be lost and I'd be condemned. God always wanted his people. He chose Abraham because he wanted all of us to have that same heart. Glory to God. Are you here? Go back with me. Go to Genesis chapter 14. Let's see if we can get to this second point. Number one, there's an introduction to Melchizedek. Say, Pastor, I never knew I needed that. You're still, a lot of you are still thinking here tonight, I still don't need it. I'm here to tell you, you do. Is Jesus Christ your King of righteousness?
Yes.
What do you bring him? Listen, they say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to raise money for this church. Well, then don't do it at the church then. Go find a church that you can, right? Go and just be connected to God. Be hooked up where you get, you know, a place that, Lord, you know, all that I am, all that I have, all that I can do is yours. Father, I bring a tithe, not because, you know, it's the money in the envelope or because it's the rule or because the organization is demanding it out of, you know, somebody or because we need fundraisers. God is looking for in the New Testament people whose hearts wouldn't understand the gratitude and the greatness that we have in Jesus Christ and give him the topmost. And God has told us what the first fruits are. It is the tithe. I don't tithe because it's being forced out of me. I tithe because I love my King. And my King has set his name in the local churches. Hebrews chapter 10 says he stands in the midst of the praising congregation and he praises his Father. He says that where two or three are gathered in his name, he would be in the midst. Listen, tithing is not a family church idea. Tithing is a New Testament pouring, outpouring of our hearts to him. Father, here you go. Here's all my increase. I want you to have the first. I want you to have the best. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go back to Genesis chapter 14. Number one, we said this. Here's an introduction to Melchizedek. Here's a second thing, and probably the last point we're going to get to tonight. Let's look specifically, number two, at the first tithe ever given. Go back to Genesis chapter 14, and let's start in verse 18. Oh, here we go. Pastor, that's right. Oh, is everyone with me? Hold on now. Pastor, I'm going to be a tither so I can get blessed. Now, hold on. Let's see what the tithing does for the blessing. You're all so excited. Don't you want to be blessed? Oh, boy, do you want to be blessed? I'm telling you, the devil is setting up the church in America and across the world for when things go down, the church will be caught, you know, completely off guard. And the church, just like Israel in the days of Malachi, they will be without the blessing of the tithe. And they'll be wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Why, you know, why am I struggling? Why is all this going down? Believe me, you can still be a tither and still be challenged. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just here to tell you, you want to be walking in the blessing. And I'm not talking about just financial blessing. The tithe does more for your life than just bless you financially. Watch this. Go to Genesis 14:18. Watch this. So now this is Abraham just won the battle. He's got these spoils. He just got paid. Literally, he just got a very good bonus at work. Increase, a paycheck, whatever you want to call it. And now we see this first mention of this man, Melchizedek, just out of nowhere. Is he Jesus? Could be. Is he just represent Jesus? Definitely. We know the Bible tells us that verbatim. Melchizedek, King of Peace. The word Salem means what, everybody? Peace. He comes out and he brings forth bread and wine. Isn't that interesting? Bread and wine in the Old Testament? Boy, that sounds a lot like something. Does that sound familiar to anybody around here? It sounds like what? Communion. You thought communion was for the New Testament. It wasn't for the Levites, but it was for the priest that lives forever. Notice the Levites never carried that. The Levites did not present communion as you and I know it, but the priest, who was made like unto the Son of God, the first look that we see this Melchizedek, he's coming out, he's called the King of Peace, and he's got with him bread and wine. All of a sudden, we see way back here, we see the body and the blood of Christ. Is this Jesus? Well, I don't know. Maybe my opinion's starting to change. I'll tell you what, people make a good case. I'm just here to tell you, I don't know that. The word doesn't say it. So I don't subscribe to any, you know, one idea with it. But this first mention of Melchizedek, he comes out, he's a priest of the Most High God, and he's got bread and wine, and he's called the priest of the Most High God. That means he's been in the presence of God. Do you know that's what the word priest means? It means to be able to go into God's presence. Boy, if we only had some priests around here. If we only had some priests around here. Brother, can you help me out back there? Can you bring up Revelation chapter 1, start in verse 5. Revelation 1:5. Wasn't planning on looking at this. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Notice he's the what begotten of the dead? The first, not the only. Do we have anyone else here that's been raised from the dead? Yes. It says, and notice he is the prince of the kings of the earth. You say, wow, that must be political leaders and presidents and things like that. Nope. Unto him that has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How many of you have had your sins washed in the blood of Jesus? Notice the comma at the end of verse 5. It's not done. Bring up verse 6. And Jesus Christ, through his blood, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do we have any priests in the house here tonight? Yes, we do. If you're washed in his blood, guess what you qualify for? To go into his presence. To go into his presence. That's what it means. And see, that's who Melchizedek was. Now go back there to Genesis 14, 18. He's called the priest of the Most High. This man comes out with bread and wine who's been in the presence of God. And he knew to bring something that thousands and thousands of years before represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? No Levite ever did that. But the priest that lives forever, this is what he carries. He carries bread and wine. That's awesome. Genesis 14, 18, if we could go back there. Look at Genesis 14, 18. Melchizedek, King of Peace, brought forth bread and wine. What is that? Why did he bring that? Because he wanted Abraham to get into that presence of God. He wanted, oh, come on, do you see yourself in the book of Genesis? Come on now, look at verse 19. It says, and Melchizedek blessed him. Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now that term, possessor of heaven and earth, that is a name for God the Father. Don't you listen to this doctrine going around by these false teachers on Christian TV telling you that that verse is talking about Abraham. It's not. Because if you look down at verse 22, it's a name for God. Abraham is not called the possessor of, you probably didn't even know that that's a thing. That's a thing. And these people, don't get me going. It is a name for God. You see the name for God just three verses later. So let's make sure we interpret the word with the Bible, okay? Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed is this Abraham of the Most High God. God is the possessor of heaven and earth. Now look at verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies, Abraham, into your hand. Let me ask you all here, has God delivered your enemies into your hand? Yes, he has. Satan is defeated. He is under your feet. Glory to God. And then notice, after this blessing, Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Here it is, the first time ever mentioned in the Bible, an official tithe. Now let's, wait a minute here. A lot of time, now of course there is, you know, blessing, and we teach it, and Malachi 3:10 says that there's blessing, you know, that you shall not have room enough to receive it. But notice how it happened. So many times we think we tithe, then we get blessed. But is that what happened with Abraham? He was blessed, and then he tithed. So many times we think, well, here's my tithe. I'm trying to get blessed. Abraham, he tithed because he already was. Not because he had so much money. It's not a, the word blessing here is not talking about how much money you have or don't have. He was blessed with God's approval. He was blessed with God's approval. And Abraham said, I'm so grateful to be blessed, therefore I tithe. Folks, we don't tithe to try to get something out of God. We tithe because we've already been given everything from Him. Did you get a hold of this? Oh my goodness. Abraham was there and he's like, I'm so grateful to be under the blessing of God. I'm so grateful to have God's approval. I'm so grateful to be in covenant with this great almighty heavenly Father. Therefore, he gave tithes. Do you see? Do you see this? So many times, and let's face it, there are, you know, blessings that come with tithing. But the heart of a tither should be, I'm so grateful for the blessing of the blood of Jesus. What? When did he tithe? He tithed after he received the bread and the wine. This was Abraham saying, I am so grateful for, I mean, he didn't even probably realize what it even stood for. We don't know that. I'm just saying he didn't know about the body of Christ. He didn't know about the blood of Jesus. But he was so grateful for that bread and that wine. He was blessed, and therefore he was a tither. Are you blessed as a child of the living God? Say, Pastor, I'm down to my last nickel. You're still blessed. Your money can run out, but that blessing will not run out. Your money can't get you into heaven, but that blessing does get you into heaven. Listen, when money runs out, that blessing never does. So whether I make a nickel a week, or $100 a week, or $1,000 a week, or whatever your amount is, it does not matter. It's not about just some fundraising percentage here. It's about being grateful for the body and the blood of the King of Righteousness. Are you here? He was blessed first. I don't tithe just to try to get something out of God. I tithe because I'm blessed. I tithe because I'm the seed of Abraham. Amen. Can you bring up Galatians 3:13? Let's wrap this up. Bring up Galatians 3:13. Wasn't planning on going there. There's so many things I'd love to show you. Oh, the teacher in my, you know, in my brain is just wanting to show you so many things in the Bible. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Are you glad to be redeemed from the curse? Well, that'd be a good confession every single day. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree or a cross. Notice the colon there at the end of verse 13. It's not done speaking. Why did Jesus become a curse on that cross for you and me? Look at verse 14, everybody. That the blessing, can we bring it up, verse 14? That the blessing of Abraham would come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. That we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, do you have the blessing of Abraham, everybody?
Yes.
What is the blessing of Abraham? Don't answer that yet. I'm going to share it with you right now. The blessing of Abraham is not just some monetary blessing, though it does and can show up like that 100%. I'm just saying, but that's not what you and I are to pursue. The blessing of Abraham is to have a heart that understands and can see who the King of Righteousness is. That's why Abraham was blessed, because he was given righteousness for his faith. And he had a heart, understood that how grateful he was for this high priest that lives forever. I'm telling you, if you are in love with the Lord, if you understand what that blood has done for you, if you have a heart that just says, I want Jesus to be first and foremost in my life, I owe him everything, he's everything to me, then you are blessed. If you have a heart to put God first like Abraham, you're rich. You're rich. It's that heart and that willingness that makes you rich. It's not the money that comes to you that makes you rich. The blessing of Abraham is, thank you, Father, for the righteousness that I didn't deserve. And therefore, Father, since I've been given what I didn't deserve, I want you to have the topmost. I want you to have the top of the heap in my life. That is somebody who understands the tithe. If you're just sitting here thinking, well, there it is. You know, another church that just hammers on tithing. I can't remember the last message I preached on tithing. I really can't. And maybe that's not a good thing. I just try to be led by the Spirit of God of what word to bring forth. And this is the message for this week. But, you know, when we think about the tithe, we think about it as some inanimate thing. Oh, I have to do it. Oh, drudge and grudge and agony on me, right? Remember Dr. Dufresne used to say, whoa, an agony on me, you know? I mean, we think it's such a drudge. It's so hard. You know, Christians hate to do it. If you're walking with the King of Righteousness, it's not hard. When you see the blood that was shed for you, when you look through the eyes of faith, when you see, you know, a gratitude of what he's done, when you understand the peace that he's given you, when you understand that there's no provision without him, I tell you what, tithing is a joy. Praise the Lord. I love, you know, take out the tithe, you know, before the Lord and pray before God and say, Father, you provided everything. None of this is really mine. I'm only a steward of it. And Father, if it blesses you, if your word, I mean, have we looked over there? Remember in Leviticus? He said, all the tithe of the land is holy to me. Why was the tithe holy to the Lord? Because it reminded them of Abraham. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 25, it says, God says, I want you to tithe in my house so that you may always learn to have reverence for me. Remember that? God always wanted his people to have reverence for him like Abraham did. Abraham had reverence, and so he tithed. If we wonder why our nation, you know that the United States of America, I mean, I don't know how they figure this. I guess they can do some math. My math is not very mathy. You don't want to ask me to do any math for you. But they say less than 2% of American Christians are tithing. And we wonder why this nation is in the heap of trouble that it's in. We wonder. Remember what he told Israel? He said, you've robbed me, and therefore in tithes and offerings, and he said, destruction comes upon your nation. Why? Isn't it a coincidence that reverence is at an all-time low in America? Well, probably because the tithe and reverence are correlated. You can tell who has reverence for God. And you know what? You know, as a pastor, you know, I know other pastors, they look at who tithes in their church. I have no clue. I never have looked. I never will. You know, they say it's a pastor's prerogative. I don't. I've always felt like, you know, a lot of pastors get tempted to see who's giving what, and they try to cater to them. I'm not saying this to be arrogant or anything, but I've never done that in 20 years. Never, ever have I gone to see what someone gives so I can give them preferential treatment or not. That is wrong. I don't look. I don't know. I don't know who's a tither in here and who's not. But I want you to have that reverence. You say, well, Pastor, this just offends me. I'm going to go to another church. Okay, when you get there, be a tither. When you get there, tithe to that church. Amen. I'm not trying to take something from you. God's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get this heart of Abraham to you so that one day you'll stand before him with confidence, not because just tithing is the only thing that gives you confidence. I'm just saying to stand, not because it was the 10%, but because it was a way for us to say, Lord, have the first, have the best. Oh man, I had much more to go, but I've learned I cannot preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. Praise the Lord. Even though I seem to try about every single week. Did you get something out of this here tonight? That's the word of the Lord. I'm sticking to it. Let's pray. You are so faithful and you are so good. Father, we love you. And Lord Jesus, you are a priest, the priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. That's what the Bible says. And in the Old Testament law, they brought tithes to a priest, the Levite priest, who was faulty, who was sinful, who died on this earth. But Father, we bring our tithes to the priest who lives forever. Father, we bring the tithes of the house of God because we want you to have the topmost. We want you to have the first in our life. Father, we want you to know that we have nothing good without you. We are forever grateful for the body that was broken for us on the cross, for the blood that was shed. Father, we don't want to take the tithe and turn it into some kind of business, financial thing. Some inanimate object. But Father, we want to walk with you. We want to have a heart that's tender that says, take the top of the heap. Have my best. I put you first. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the body that was broken so that my body could be healed. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you that, yes, right there in the middle of the New Testament, you showed us what tithing was truly always about. You want our hearts. You want us to be tender. Father, we just praise you tonight. We give you the glory. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, ask yourself this question in the quiet of your conscience. I know I'm standing in a room that's filled with believers, people that have made Jesus their Lord and Savior, but ask yourself this question. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? If I were to die today, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? Yes, there is a hell. Jesus said it is a place where the torment never ends. He said it's a place where the flame is never quenched and the worm never dies. But he said, I've got good news. He said, if you'll put your faith in me, he said, I go to my Father's house and I prepare a place for you. God sent his Son to rescue you from your sin. He sent his Son to rescue you from hell. And I know many of you, you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but just perchance, if there's anyone here tonight, you've never made Christ your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You decide to put your trust in the resurrection of the Son of God. If you're here tonight, you've never done that, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you, but if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to put my trust in him. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then I'll lead a prayer for everyone in the congregation. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you'd say, Pastor, that's me? I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you've walked away from God and you're not serving him like you should. And you know that you need to rededicate your life to him tonight. If that's you, could you lift your hand? Is there anyone here that you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord? I see that hand and that hand and that hand. And that one, you can put it down. See that hand? Thank you. God loves you. He wants you to walk with Him with these things. He wants you to fellowship with Him. Fellowship is about obeying the truth, obeying His word, talking to Him. Yes, even the tithe can be a great point of fellowship with your Father. Let's all pray this together tonight. Let's all just dedicate ourselves. It's something we all can do every day of our lives. Let's pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, and my great High Priest. Father God, I make a decision to walk with you fully, to fully surrender, and to live the crucified life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me when I've missed it. Forgive me when I have not fully obeyed you. Today, I turn and make a new direction. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Isn't God good to us? Isn't He just so good to give us the word? Let's stand to our feet. Let's rejoice and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we're going to be doers of the word because we love you, because we're grateful, because, Lord, we want to see the gospel be effective and flourish in this community. And, Father, we just say we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.